بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. Last night in the Taraweeh, the seventh juz of the Quran was recited. The first ayat وَإِذَا سَمِعُوا مَا أُنْزِلَ إِلَى الرَّسُولِ تَرَى أَعْيُنَهُمْ تَفِيضُ مِنَ الدَّمْعِ مِمَّا عَرَفُوا مِنَ الْحَقِّ. So in the last ayat of the previous juz, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said that you will find that those people who possess the most amount of enmity for the believers are the Yahud, the Jews, and the Mushrikeen, the polytheists. And compared to them, you will find that those who say they are Christians, they are closer and they have more love for the believers. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said that the reason why the Nasara, those who say they are Christians, they are closer to the believers, why they are closer is because amongst them there are Qissiteen, that is, people of learning, people possessing knowledge, their priestly class, وَرُهْبَانٌ, and their monks, those who engage in ibadah, worship in their own way, but because of this, they are more closer to the people, to the believer. Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentioned in the first ayah that was recited last night, that some amongst the Nasara, they are such that when they hear the verses that are recited, that are revealed to the Rasul, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, then their eyes start flowing with tears because they recognize the haqq, the truth. This refers to an incident that occurred when the Muslims had migrated to Abyssinia and they were in the court of Najashi, who was the king of Abyssinia at that time. And Abyssinia was a Christian country. So the king had called the Muslims and asked them what to explain their deen. So Ja'far radiallahu anhu, he recited some verses to the Abyssinian king Najashi, and he began to tear and he realized that this is the truth. And later on also, when Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and the Muslims had made hijrah to Medina Munawwara, then the king of that time of Abyssinia, he sent a delegation to Medina Munawwara, and this delegation consisted of many priests and scholars amongst them. So when they came, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam recited to them some ayat of Surah Yasin, and they again, once again, recognized that this is the truth, and they began to tear and they began to cry. So amongst the people of the book, there are those who do understand and realize that the Quran is the truth. Some of them then do bring iman. Further on, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, Ya ayyuha alladhina amanu, la tuharrimu tayyibati ma ahallallahu lakum wa la ta'tadu. That those things that are pure, do not make it haram. That whatever is halal, this has been made halal by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, nobody can make it haram. So whatever is halal, nobody can make it haram from their side. If something is allowed, it's permissible, and a person makes it haram with the belief that it is haram, then this is a very grave sin. It could result in a person leaving the fold of iman, becoming a kafir. If a person doesn't believe it to be haram, but because of some reason he abstains from it, for example, for a medical reason, a person, example, he has diabetes, so certain types of food, he stays away from it, but he doesn't have the belief that it's haram, then this is permissible. Or for a spiritual reason, a person doesn't eat certain type of food. For example, he has too much of desire, so he has been advised, example, stay away from meat, etc. So now, he stays away from it, but not with the belief that it's haram, then this would be permissible. However, something that is halal, a person doesn't have any right, nobody has any right to make it haram. Just like how something which is haram, we can't make it halal. So in a similar way, if a thing is permitted and is allowed by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, nobody has the right to make it haram. Then further on, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions concerning oath that a person takes. So Allah ta'ala says, لَا يُعَاخِذُكُمُ اللَّهُ بِاللَّغْوِ فِي أَيْمَانِكُمْ. Futile oath that a person takes, Allah ta'ala will not take you to task for that by the slip of the tongue or a person's habit. For example, you see amongst the Arabs, they say quite often, Wallahi, Wallahi, but they have no intention of taking an oath. So this year, Allah Ta'ala will not take you to task for. Although it won't be a good habit to take the name of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala on simple matters, but Allah Ta'ala won't take you to task. However, وَلَكِمْ يُعَاخِذُكُمْ بِمَا عَقَّدْتُمُ الْإِيمَانِ. But when a person deliberately he takes an oath, then the person will have to now fulfill and carry out that oath. So if a person has taken an oath on the name of Allah to do a thing or to not to do a thing, now it becomes binding upon him to fulfill it, to carry it out. If he doesn't carry it out, Then Allah Ta'ala mentions what is the kafara, the expiation for this. فَكَفَّارَتُهُ إِطْعَامُ عَشَرَةِ مَسَاكِينَ مِنْ أَوْسَطِ مَا تُطْعِمُونَ أَهْلِيكُمْ أَوْ كِسْوَتُهُمْ أَوْ تَحْرِيرُ رَقَبَةٍ. That a person who has taken an oath and now he doesn't fulfill this oath, he breaks it, then he will have to pay the kafara, which would be, he will have to feed 10 poor people from the general food that he would normally be eating, or he would have to clothe 10 people, or he would have to free a slave. And if a person is unable to do this, then he has to fast for 3 days consecutively. So this is the kafara for a qasam, an oath that a person takes. وَحْفَظُوا أَيْمَانَكُمْ. And Allah Ta'ala cautions us that you should protect and upkeep your oath that you take. The name of Allah is not something that you play around with. When you take the name of Allah on something, then carry it out and fulfill whatever you have taken an oath of. And then further on, Allah Subhanahu wa Ta'ala mentions concerning liquor and gambling, that these things are haram, totally forbidden, and they are min rijisum min amali shaytan. They are filth, and they are from the acts of shaytan. That shaytan incites you and encourages you to get involved in gambling, to get involved in drinking. So fajtanibuhu, you should stay away and abstain from it. La'allakum tuflihun, so that you can be successful both in this world and being successful in the akhirah. We see that those societies where gambling, liquor is rife, then in terms of dunya also, there is so much of problems that come about because of this. Allah Ta'ala says in front that shaitan just wants to create enmity and discord amongst you by means of gambling, by means of liquor and drinking. So we see even in our country, some people so poor they are, can't afford basic necessities of life, but they have money to drink. First thing they go to the bottle store. So this is something that we should stay away from, and we have to make a lot of shukr. Allah Ta'ala has made it haram for us in our deen, in our religion, and we have been saved from so much of harm that arise from these things. And then further on, Allah Subhanahu wa Ta'ala gives the ruling concerning hunting, whilst a person is in ihram, that a person is not allowed to hunt. And then Allah Ta'ala says, جَعَلَ اللَّهُ الْكَعْبَةَ الْبَيْتَ الْحَرَامَ قِيَامًا لِلنَّاسِ. Allah Ta'ala has made the sacred house of Allah, the Kaaba, a means of the establishment and the prosperity of mankind. That in Allah Ta'ala's wisdom, the Kaaba, and as long as we fulfill the rites of the Kaaba, performing salah towards the Kaaba, a person is connected to the Kaaba, and the Ummah remains connected to the Kaaba by fulfilling the rites of Hajj and Umrah, and venerating and upholding the sanctity of the Kaaba, then the prosperity of the Ummah is connected to this year. And towards the end of the surah, the incident is mentioned of the Hawariyin, the disciples of Isa alayhi salatu wasalam, and the request that they made to him. They had asked him that, Ya Isa ibn Maryam, هل يستطيع ربك أن ينزل علينا مائدة من السماء? Oh Isa, does your Rabb have the ability to send down for us a table spread, a dastarkhan, fully laden from the sky? So this was a request that they had made, and also in a very, not in a respectful manner, that can your Rabb do it? Does your Rabb have the ability? This is not a way to speak. So they had asked Isa alayhi salatu wasalam that we want Allah Ta'ala to send down a dastarkhan, a table spread, fully laden from the sky. So Isa alayhi salatu wasalam cautioned them. He said, fear Allah Ta'ala, don't make such requests. Because if a person asks for some miracle, some sign, and Allah Ta'ala sends it down, and the person doesn't accept it or doesn't fulfill the rites connected to that miracle, then it could be very, very harmful for him. So Isa alayhi salatu wasalam cautioned them, said, don't make such requests. But they were persistent. They said, نُرِيدُ أَن نَأْكُلَ مِنْهَا. We want to eat from it. وَتَطْمَئِنَّ قُلُوبُنَا. And our hearts should find contentment. We should have more conviction and yaqeen. And we will, through this, we will come to know that you are really truthful. And we will be from those who testify. So then Allah, Isa alayhi salatu wasalam, made dua to Allah that, oh Allah, send down for them from the sky the table spread, so that it may be a means of festivity for them and a sign from your side. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said that I will send it down, but Allah ta'ala cautioned again that after sending it down, whoever will reject and be ungrateful, then I will subject him to a very, very severe punishment that I don't give to anyone else. Then the Mufassirin mentioned that this table spread was then sent down, and some among them, some of the disciples then decided to hoard the food. They said, this is heavenly food that has been sent. We want to take it, take all the barakah. Whereas Isa alayhi salatu wasalam had prohibited them from doing that, and a punishment came upon them. So a person shouldn't make such requests. Then the next surah is Surah Al-An'am. An'am means livestock. In the next part, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala discusses livestock. The first ayat, Alhamdulillahi alladhi khalaqa as-samawati wal-ard. All praise belongs to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, who has created the heaven and the earth. وَجَعَلَ الظُّلُمَاتِ وَالنُّورِ. So Allah ta'ala has created all maddi things, material things. وَجَعَلَ الظُّلُمَاتِ وَالنُّورِ. And He has made darknesses and He has made light. Also spiritual things. Allah is the creator of everything. The subject matter of this surah is the oneness and the tawheed of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And in different ways, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala explains to man that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He is alone and He is all powerful. He is the one who fulfills all needs of man. Allah ta'ala says, وَإِنْ يَمْسَسْكَ اللَّهُ بِضُرِّنْ. That if any difficulty comes to you, then who can remove the difficulty? There is none who can remove the difficulty. Person is in financial difficulty, person is sick, a person is in other difficulties. Nobody can remove the difficulty besides Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. وَإِنْ يَمْسَسْكَ بِخَيْرٍ فَهُوَ عَلَىٰ كُلِّ شَيْءٍ قَدِيرٍ. And if Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala intends some good for you, then Allah ta'ala has the full ability to do this here. There is nobody who can stop it. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the one who is all powerful. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions the people of the book, الَّذِينَ آتَيْنَاهُمُ الْكِتَابِ. Those whom we have granted the book, يَعْرِفُونَهُ كَمَا يَعْرِفُونَ أَبْنَاءَهُمْ. They recognize Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and they realize that this is the final messenger, the signs of which we read about in our books, and he is the final messenger. But just like how they recognize their own son, a person doesn't make a mistake with his son and someone else. In the same way, these people have so much of conviction that Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is the messenger. However, due to jealousy on their part, and because they don't want to accept the haq, then they refuse, and they are deprived. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala further on mentions different ways that Allah ta'ala punishes people when they don't accept and when they don't want to believe. Allah ta'ala says that فَأَخَذْنَاهُمْ بِالْبَأْسَاءِ وَالضَّرَّاءِ. Sometimes Allah ta'ala seizes a person with difficulty, with calamities, لَعَلَّهُمْ يَتَضَرَّعُونَ, so that people become humble and they turn, they submit to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So then when a person now is seized with difficulties, with some calamities, you should understand, realize this is a punishment for some wrong that I'm doing, for my not believing, and you should humble and turn to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But there are then certain people that they don't accept, and even the difficulties that come upon them isn't a means for them turning back to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah ta'ala says then the second step, فَلَمَّا نَسُوا مَا ذُكِّرُوا بِهِ فَتَحْنَا عَلَيْهِمْ أَبْوَابَ كُلِّ شَيْءٍ. When these people are not benefited by the difficulties, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala opens unto them the doors of everything. Then Allah ta'ala now seizes them and tests them with ease and comfort. And sometimes this type of test is more difficult for a person than the test of difficulty, the test of ease and the test of comfort. So sometimes a person is in ease, prosperity. That's not always a sign that it's a ni'mat from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Ulama explained that how will a person know what is a ni'mat when a person is in ease and comfort? Is this a ni'mat? Is it a bounty of Allah? Or is it a ni'mat? Or is it a punishment? If he is using that bounty of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to come closer to Allah, then this is a ni'mat, this is a bounty of Allah. However, if the same prosperity that he's enjoying, comfort that he's enjoying, if it is turning him further away from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, more in the disobedience of Allah, then this is a ni'mat, this is a punishment. And Hazrat Mawlana gives a beautiful example, like a person at home, he has a parrot, and the housewife then feeds the parrot. She gives the parrot nuts, she gives the parrot pieces, leftover pieces of food, bread, cheese, etc. So that's why, because the parrot is a pet, they have to look after the pet. And then in the house there's also a mouse, and she sees now the mouse is troubling, biting holes in the rice, biting holes in the flour. So now, what does the housewife do? She buys a mouse trap, and in that mouse trap she puts fresh cheese. So now the mouse comes out of his hole, and he sees, subhanAllah, fresh cheese here for me. The housewife must be liking me a lot, and he eats the cheese, but that becomes a cause of him being destroyed. So in the same way, when a ni'mat is there, if a person is using it to come closer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, this shows that it's a ni'mat. But if that ni'mat is being used to go further away from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then this is actually a ni'mat, it's a punishment which Allah ta'ala has afflicted upon a person. And further on in the surah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in different ways explains the signs of his power and of his qudrat. And the incident then is also mentioned of Ibrahim alayhi salatu wa salam, that Ibrahim alayhi salatu wa salam, he looked at the sun, he looked at the moon, he looked at the stars, and he realized that these cannot be my deity, my object of worship, it's to only be Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And he turned solely to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. إِنِّي وَجَّهْتُ وَجْهِيَ لِلَّذِي فَطَرَ السَّمَاوَاتِ وَالْأَرْضَ حَنِيفًا. I have turned my face solely to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. حَنِيفًا, not on this side, not on that side, but focus solely to one Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. وَمَا أَنَا مِنَ الْمُشْرِكِينَ. And I am not from those who ascribe partners to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And then towards the end of the surah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala explains, إِنَّ اللَّهَ فَالِكُ الْحَبِّ وَالنَّوَى. That Allah ta'ala is that being who causes the date first and the seed to split. A date first so hard, if a person bites it hard, his teeth will become cracked. But from the date first, Allah ta'ala causes it to split. A shoot comes out, a green shoot comes out, and from there Allah ta'ala causes a tree to grow. This is the qudrat and power of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. يُخْرِجُ الْحَيَّ مِنَ الْمَيِّتِ وَمُخْرِجُ الْمَيِّتِ مِنَ الْحَيِّ ذَلِكُمُ اللَّهُ فَأَنَّا تُؤْفَكُونَ. Allah ta'ala takes out the living from the dead, and the dead from the living, from an egg which is dead, Allah ta'ala takes out a live chick, and from a chicken which is alive, Allah ta'ala takes out a dead egg. And this could also be spiritually, that from a kafir who is dead, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala causes in that home a believer, one who will believe in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, to be born. And from a, sometimes the opposite also happens, Allah protect us, from a believer, a kafir, a disbeliever is born. ذلكم الله. This is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. فَأَنَّا تُؤْفَكُونَ. So powerful, so great Allah is. Where are you turning away to? Don't turn towards anyone else. All your needs for it, turn towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Establish your connection with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us the understanding of His book and yaqeen on His sifat and qualities.